to a couple of places. I want to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 15, verse 1. And just select a portion of that verse that will complement where we're going in Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going first of all to Isaiah 21, verse 5, and then Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Isaiah 21 said, "Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield." Everybody say, anoint the shield. Anoint the shield. And then some familiar verses from Ephesians 6, verse 11, down to verse 17 said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. I want to talk tonight about the necessity of an anointed shield. The necessity of an anointed shield. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody know that we're at war? You said the night you, well, I'll go back further than that. When you walked into the door of a church, and even before you got here, you were at war. I'm talking about the first time. When somebody told you about God, that's when the battle started. You may be seated. Whoever it was that witnessed to you and told you that you could have the Holy Ghost, that's when the battle started. And the devil started lying right there. And he started telling you that there's nothing to that. And he battled you when you tried to come and tried to keep you from coming. And then when he got here, he tried to keep you distracted. Amen. And not only to keep you distracted, he kept telling these people are crazy. You got to get out of here. This is not necessary. Nobody else acts like this. Nobody else does this. So it must not be necessary, right? Amen. You were in a battle from the time you heard about this. And then when you came and repented of your sins, you fought a battle to get here. You fought a battle to get through. Amen. Precious saints of God that gathered around you and helped pray you through all the way until you began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave you the utterance. You were at war. You were in a battle. Amen. When you went under the waters in the name of Jesus Christ, and that watery grave washed your sins away, and you came up out of that water a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're in a battle. And we've been fighting every day since then. Anybody ever feel like you're in a battle? Amen. Hallelujah. Some days we do better than other days. But we are in a battle. If you've been in the church for a few days or a few months or a few years or many years, you're still in a battle. Amen. It never stops. You don't get to retire from this army, and you never get out of the war. We are involved tonight in spiritual warfare. And that's just the way that it is. I wish I could tell you that there'll be a time on earth that you'll not have to fight, but I haven't found that time yet. I've talked to some precious elders. There was a dear brother, he was in his 90s, and a young preacher was talking about a problem he was facing, and he said to the elder, he said, when does this go away? And the 90-year-old elder said, well, when it goes away, I'll let you know. In other words, I'm still battling. Amen. And so it's not over until we breathe our last breath and take in some celestial air. Amen. But until then, we're going to be battling. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through verse 5 said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we live in a flesh body, but we can't fight with our flesh. You can't fight with your flesh tongue. You'll say things that will be wrong. You'll cause injury. You'll do damage to your own soul and to the soul and the spirit of others. Let me say tonight, right now we are in a real battle right here in Athens, Texas, in this church. We need to be especially careful what we say. Hear me. Some people were pretty wounded this week because of some things that were said and some things that were done. We need to be very careful, folks, what we say. Amen. Shake your head like this right here. We need to be very careful what we say. Amen. And then, let me say this. You need to be very careful what you listen to. If people start telling you a bunch of things, you need to be careful what you're listening to. If it sounds like sour grapes, it probably is. Amen. If it sounds negative, it probably is. If it sounds a little bit bitter, it probably is. And before you act or make any decisions, you need to give equal time to another party. Isn't that right? Amen. So just be very careful, because we're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't use your tongue to fight the battle. You can't use your brain to fight the battle. You can't figure out all by yourself a plan to win the battle. You certainly can't use your fist or your feet to fight the battle. Amen. We have some weapons, Brother Neil, and they're mighty through God. Everybody say through God. Amen. You see, all this has to go through God. Your prayers have to go through God. Your words have to go through God. Your emotions have to go through God. Your plans have to go through God. Everything goes through Him. And the anointing comes. And divine enablement comes. And He empowers us. And gives us wisdom. And gives us direction. That assures us of victory. But we cannot fight this battle in our flesh, or we will lose. Amen. We will injure. We will hurt. We will mangle others and ourselves. Can't fight this battle that way. We needed anointed shields. We need some anointed shields. When we get ready to go to battle, we got to have some help. I'd like to go back to that sixth chapter now of the book of Ephesians and look at it one more time. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus from a prison cell, and he's writing to that church, and he tells them, he's got a soldier right there beside him, and he's kind of describing what he looks like because he has on armor. And so he's saying, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? Those are his plans. Those are his strategies. Let me tell you something. The devil can't read your mind, but he's been dealing with human beings now for 6,000 years. And he does listen to your conversations. That's right. He can't read your thoughts, but he can listen to what you're saying. And if you go around talking about how bad it is and how upset you are and how discouraged you are and how you're thinking about giving up and quitting, you think he's not listening to all that? Hello? Amen. He listens to your words. And from your words, he can pretty well figure out what's going on in your mind and your heart. Isn't that what the Bible said? It said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The devil knows that. So when he hears you talking, he knows what's in your heart. And he's very smart. Amen. And he's been dealing with humans a long time. And he's got us pretty well figured out. So he has some strategies that he puts forth. But the Bible says that if we put on the whole armor of God, we can withstand him. Others have, and you can also. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And sometimes we forget that. Amen. Sometimes we forget what's behind what people say. Right? And we want to attack the messenger instead of the one that put the message there. Amen. And so help us, Lord, not just to get mad at people, but help us to look beyond that and get mad at the devil. Amen. And don't look at people's addictions and problems and get mad at the person, get mad at the what's causing the addiction and the spirit that's behind that. And that's what you pray against. Pray against what's causing the problem. Pray against the spirit that is coming against you through that individual. Amen. And don't just get mad at your brothers and sisters. Amen. But understand that there's a power that's behind some things. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are battling some spiritual things today. Amen. And you don't battle spiritual things in the flesh. You have to battle in the spirit by the spirit. And not just by the human spirit. There is a human spirit. And then there's the spirit of God. And there's the spirit of Satan. Discerning of spirits is important so you'll know what kind of spirit you're dealing with. Amen. You can always take authority over the spirit of Satan. But you can't take authority over the human spirit. That's right. You don't take authority over the human spirit. Because God didn't give you authority. He don't even take authority over the human spirit. He let you have your own free will. And you have to submit your will to God. That's your job. God won't make you do it. I've asked God to make me be good a few times. And he hasn't. He said, no, son, that's your job. Amen. That's right. Amen. He tells me how to do it if I stay under subjection to the Holy Ghost.
and keep my will submitted to the will of God, then I do well. But when I allow my spirit to reign and to rule, then I cause problems for myself and for others. So we have to get control of our spirit and surrender that to the Spirit of God. And so we battle against spirits here. And then he says it again. Notice what these words. He said, wherefore take unto you. Everybody say take. That means it's going to require some effort on your part. Amen. It's going to require some effort on your part. Amen. God doesn't just come down and slap a helmet on your head and tie a sword around your side. You got to take it. It's there for the taking, but you got to put it on. Brother Holly used to say, God could tie your shoes, but he won't. Amen. He won't. That's right. And so there are some things that we have to take the armor. Take it up. Put it on. That's our job. That's our necessary part. God has provided the armor, but it's up to you and I to put it on. And then he said that we might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen. We are in the evil day, I do believe. I think we're living in a pretty evil time right now. And in America, if you have any spiritual sensitivity, you can feel that there's a battle going on for this nation. There's a battle going on against the church. Amen. It's an interesting thing what's happening right now. But we know that righteousness is being fought. And we are in an evil day, and we're standing. And everybody say, we're standing. Aren't we? I'm glad to see you here tonight. It lets me know you're standing. When you miss, it concerns me, because I don't know if you're standing or not. Amen. Could I just encourage you to do something tonight? I'm not asking you this because I'm bossy or because I'm nosy. But if you're going to miss a service, you know what's a good thing to do? It's a good thing to call. You know why? One thing is you have to come up with a good excuse. Normally, you don't just call the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm just too tired. Huh? You know what my experience is with that? I've noticed that if I don't go to church, and if I do go to church, I get about the same amount of rest. Because whenever I'm trying to sleep and I'm not in church, I'm laying there tossing and turning and all troubled because I didn't go to church. Right? Amen. I can't find peace. I can't get settled. Amen. Because I'm disturbed in my spirit. But when I do go to church and I've been singing and worshiping and praising God, I go home, I'm feeling good. I'm in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm in the rest of the Holy Ghost, and my spirit's at rest, and then it gives my body rest. Amen. That's what happens. But if you do have a need to miss, it's still good just to let your pastor know that you're missing. I'm going to not be there, Pastor, and I want you to pray. That way I know that you're still standing. Amen. I know that you're standing, and I'm not going to be as worried as I am if you just don't. So accountability. Everybody say accountability. Is that still important in the body of Christ? Yeah, it is. It is. It's important. So I'm not asking people to do that because I'm nosy. I'm really not at all. I'm probably one of the least nosy people you'll ever meet. Amen. I really am. I only want to know what I need to know. You don't have to tell me anything you don't want to tell me. But if you need to tell me, I'm here to listen. I'm a good listener and I'm a good forgetter. Amen. If you ask me a little while after you've talked to me, if you remember what I talked about, I'll probably say nope. Because it's good to have a good forgetter. Amen. I said it's good to have a good forgetter, just as it's good to have good memory. Amen. There are some people, I mean, they can remember things. Amazes me. Especially words that were said. I heard somebody say, you remember you said so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. No. I don't. Amen. Right. You remember you called me such and such 36 years ago. We were standing right there and I said this and you said that. Huh? You need to get a good forgetter. Amen. That's not the kind of memory you need. Let some things go. Amen. And but accountability is important in the body. Because we do battle. And I do need to know if you're standing. Hallelujah. It's important that you stand. Hallelujah. And so he said, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. It's important, folks, that we maintain the truth. Your loins, that's where the tender parts and the reproductive organs of the body are. We reproduce by truth. I said we reproduce by truth. You can't reproduce without truth. And he said, you need to put a breastplate on that'll cover the loins, because you don't want to get truth cut out of you and you can't reproduce yourself. So it's important that we have our loins girt about with truth. And then he said, you got to have on a breastplate of righteousness, because that covers the heart of the matter. Righteousness is the heart of the matter. I said righteousness is the heart of the matter. Amen. You see, your heart is, that's what keeps you going. It's the seat of your emotions. It's the seat of your will. Amen. It's where your feelings are. It's what your will is. And if your heart is affected, it affects your will. Amen. When you get discouraged, it's because something got to your heart. Hello? I said something got to your heart. We've got to be protected, because that's where righteousness is. That's where purity is. That's where holiness is. So we've got to guard that. We've got to protect that. Because if sin gets in there, or bitterness gets in there, and discouragement gets in there, then it begins to work against us. And I don't know if you've ever had any heart problems, but I promise you, when your heart's not working right, it's hard to even breathe, much less anything else. That's right. It takes all of your energy just to breathe and to stand. Amen. I knew I was having heart problems when I couldn't walk up that hill out there. When I walked from here to the house on the hill, I had to stop on the way. I couldn't make it because I couldn't breathe and had severe pain. That you know that. So you guard your heart, because the Bible said from the heart come the issues of life. And so you got to guard your heart. Again, one of the ways to know your heart is to listen to your words. Listen to what you're talking about. If your speech has become very negative, that's a warning to you. If you find yourself dwelling on certain things that you know are not good, that tells you that your heart's entertaining some things that you need to get out of it. Amen. The heart is, it reveals itself through the things that we say. So be very attentive to that. He said that to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've said this before, that the shoes that soldiers used had spikes on them, so that when they planted their feet, They didn't move easily. Amen. When you get ready to stand and you plant them, and you got some spikes on there, it's not going to be easy to shove you around and push you around. The Bible. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But you got to clench your feet. He's not going to move just because you say boo. Sometimes he's going to stand there a little bit, and you're going to have to keep resisting. You're going to have to keep resisting. How long do I resist, brother? Until he flees. Amen. But if you have your mind made up, and when he sees that your mind is made up, he's going to flee, and he's going to come back another day. He knows that the battle's been won because you resisted until he left. Amen. And then he said, above all, he said, taking, again, that word taking. Notice that. Taking the shield of faith. Now you see, you put on the helmet of salvation. And you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you gird your loins with truth. Those are things that you put on. And you put on the shoes, or your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's all things that you put on your body. But the shield is something you take, and it's on the outside of you. It's apart from you. But it has a vital function. You have to take the shield. And you have to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And those are your weapons. A shield can be a weapon as well as a defensive mechanism. Amen. You can knock somebody down with a shield. You can hurt somebody with a shield. Amen. But you got to have that shield of faith. That is your protection. It's what guards you. Amen. The Lord spoke to Abraham, and one of the things that he said in Genesis 15:1, he said, Abram, he said, I am your shield. Now, Abraham was getting ready to start a journey. And it was a long journey. And it was by faith. He didn't know where he was going. And if you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you get there? It was a journey by faith. He didn't know until faith said, this is it. Amen. And he had to fight some battles. And the Lord said, I am your shield. In other words, I'm your protector. I'm gonna ward off the evil things. I'm gonna take care of your enemies. I'm gonna guard you, and I'm gonna guide you. God is your shield. And then David, one of the hardest times in his life. I can't even imagine what David went through when, after being king for many years and establishing the kingdom of Israel and building the city of Jerusalem, and peace was in the land, and then to have his very own son conspire against him and plan against him and rebel against him, to the point that David himself, the king, had to leave Jerusalem. He had to flee the city. David, in his older years, once again became a fugitive, running for his life, because Absalom plotted against him and convinced enough people that he could overthrow the kingdom of David. What the Philistines couldn't do, what none of the enemies of Israel ever did, Absalom did. Because David would not fight his son. So he's leaving. He's leaving the city of Jerusalem. And in David's familiar way, he began to sing a song. I don't know the tune of the song, but he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. May And many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. No wonder David couldn't be defeated. Even when he left the city in seeming defeat, fleeing before his rebellious son, he said, for thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my protector, and the lifter up of my head. David refused to be discouraged. He refused to be down. Amen. When Solomon built the temple, he built 200 shields. Each one of those shields contained 15 pounds of pure gold. Wow. Amen. Those are big shields. They beat them out thin, and they were massive shields. Then he made 300 more that weighed about 7.5 pounds of gold, pure gold, beaten gold each one. You know what those shields were for? Those shields were for worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Every Sabbath day, when the people began to come to worship, those soldiers would step out in the brilliance of the sun, and they would lift up those golden shields, and the sun would blast off of them and reflect off of them. And it was blinding to see the brilliance and the glory and the purity of the King of Kings that Israel worshipped. And they would walk through those shields on their way to the house of God. And every step they took, it was saying to them one more time, amen, for thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Hallelujah, my protector and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, listen to me tonight. When you come to the house of God, remind yourself, the Lord is my shield. Amen. The Lord is my protector. He will guard me. He will guide me. He will deliver me out of the hands of my enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were simply shields for glory and for the worship to reflect and remind Israel who God is and how great He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Isaiah reminds us in a troublesome time in Israel. He said, and you princes arise and anoint the shield. You see, it was important that shields would be anointed. One of the things that they put on a shield, and a lot of them were made out of wood covered with a very, very, very hard leather. And that had to be cared for. It had to be anointed. You had to take care of it. Otherwise, it would become hard and brittle and useless. You had to constantly be anointing that and put in an oil on it that would preserve it. Make it right, make it pure. Keep it strong, keep it supple, so that you could, it would do what it was designed to do. You see, in Bible times when they went to war, one of the first things they would do was the enemy began to come in, they would lift up and archers would shoot arrows that had been dipped into tar or pitch, and then they would set them on fire and they would shoot them at the enemy. And the arrows would rain down out of the heavens. But they would all get together and lift up those shields. And those shields would guard them from the raining arrows. And the anointed shield would quench the fire. And that was just part of the battle. It's part of the battle. Amen. So that shield, it was important to them. And it was important that it was taken care of. Amen. How, Brother Grissom, how do we make an anointed shield today? I know of no better way than praying in the Holy Ghost. I said praying in the Holy Ghost. Does anybody still remember praying in the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's how we pray around here, isn't it? Amen. It's If you're not praying the Holy Ghost, then you're just having a religious gripe session. That's what some people call prayer. They just come and tell God all their troubles and just gripe a little bit. Amen. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you start feeling some anointing, and you feel some power, and you begin to feel some authority, and you begin to speak some things in the Holy Ghost, and you begin to take authority over enemies and powers and spirits and things that are battling you. And there's a victory and there's a power that comes in Holy Ghost prayer. Amen. The Bible says, building yourselves up in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, if you want to build up your body and build muscle, you gotta spend some time and some effort, and you get some heavy weights, and it takes some discipline. Amen. And you gotta just keep working at it, and it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to stick with it. You got to stay with it. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the same way. It's not just a one-time thing. You don't make one trip to the altar and you talk in tongues one time and you pray through one time. But you got to do it every day. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. I got to crucify this flesh every day. I got to put to death this carnal spirit every day. Hallelujah. I got to get myself under the Holy Ghost and the protection and the power of the Lord every day. And that's how you anoint your shield. That's how you anoint your faith. That's how you anoint your faith. And the Bible teaches us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. But when you have an anointed shield, it makes all the difference. When you have an anointed faith, amen. I think there's a difference in anointed faith and some other stuff that I've heard called faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some people, you know, they're praying for cars and houses and money. You know what that sounds like to me? I'm sorry, but it sounds like greed. Selfishness. Superficiality. Amen. I'm not talking about praying something you really need. But if you're praying for a Rolls Royce, amen, I don't think God cares. Amen. If you can buy a Rolls Royce. Amen. I don't think He cares. As long as you're paying your tithes and supporting the church and supporting missions, taking care of the business. I don't think He cares. It's all right with Him. He don't mind. Amen. But as long as you're putting other things first. But if that's your goal in life, is to have some status symbol so that you can receive some glory and people will think that you're really somebody and really something, your motive's wrong. Your motive's wrong. Amen. But the psalmist prayed a better prayer. He said, Lord, he said, give me the heathen for my inheritance. In other words, he said, God, I want to win the world. I want to convert the lost. I want to reach everybody. You want to pray a prayer that'll please God? You start praying for the lost. You start battling for the lost. You start talking to God about lost humanity. You start bringing down strongholds that bind people. Amen. You start breaking chains by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what God is pleased with. And that's the way the church is supposed to pray. Somebody prayed like that for you. And you need to pray like that for others. Amen. And so anointing, Holy Ghost anointing. There's nothing like it in all the world. King Jehoshaphat went out one day and got the bad news. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir were all coming against Jerusalem. And he knew that he didn't have the power to withstand them. And so he went to prayer. And he began to talk to God. And he, he reminded the Lord. He said, you know, here in Jerusalem, you put your name here, and we built a temple here to you. And you said that whenever the enemy comes in, that you would protect us. And he just began to remind himself of the promises of God. That's a good thing to do. Amen. Now let me tell you something. You don't have to quote the Bible to God to remind him. He doesn't forget. But you quote the Bible to remind yourself and to encourage yourself and to let the devil hear it again. Hey, Slewfoot, it hadn't changed. It still says what it says. It still means what it says. God still does what it says. And that's part of the anointing of your shield. You just begin to encourage yourself with the Word of God. And so that's what Jehoshaphat did. And the Lord stirred up a prophet. And the prophet said, Jehoshaphat, he said, you're not going to have to fight this battle today. He said, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And he said, God's going to fight today. He said, don't pick up your sword. Don't pick up your shield. Don't worry about your spear. Don't worry about your chariots. Don't worry about anything. He said, what I want you to do, though, is I want you to just start singing. Hallelujah. I want you to start praying. I want you to start worshiping. What a way to fight a battle. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what they did. The men and the women and the children, they began to worship. And they begin to sing. And they begin to praise. Hallelujah. And the Bible said God turned the battle in array. And the Ammonites and the Moabites started fighting against those of Mount Seir. And they destroyed them. And then they turned around and they started fighting one another. Hallelujah. And when it was all over, all the enemy was destroyed. And Israel, all they did was worship and praise God and have a good time. Amen. That's an anointed shield. That's how you fight a battle. You don't have to fight it with your mouth talking to people and telling people, but you fight it on your knees. Hallelujah. Amen. You begin to tell God about it. Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to work all of this out. But you know how, God. You know how, God. Amen. You know how to do it, God. You know what my needs are. Amen. And just begin to tell him about it. In the Holy Ghost. And I promise you victory will come. Victory will come. You don't know how it's going to come, but victory will come. Anybody ever experienced that here tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody ever have a loved one that the Lord saved because you wouldn't give up and you kept praying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just kept on bombarding heaven. Hey, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we need. We need that anointed shield tonight. An anointed shield. Amen. Praise. It'll protect you. You don't have to worry. It'll take care of you wherever you go. It will take care of you. Amen. I've known God to take care of people in situations that are astounding. We have experienced God's protective shield driving an automobile, haven't you? Amen. When it was unavoidable, you were going to have an accident, there's no way out of it. Amen. And God would just somehow step in, and that anointed shield, he'd get you back on the right road. Things would just straighten out. Pray that's God taking care of that. Hallelujah. Amen. A good friend of mine working in the oil field out in West Texas. And all of a sudden, the Lord just told him, he said, run, son. That's all he said. And he didn't question. He just took off running. And right behind him, under a high pressure, one of they were working on a well, and that part of it blew off under the tremendous pressure. And it just scattered, and heavy metal and everything else would hit right where he was standing. Amen. The Lord just said, run. He said, okay. And he went. That's an anointed shield. That's an anointed shield. Amen. If the Lord ever tells you to run, don't say why. Just go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there's some testimonies right here tonight in this congregation. Many of you could tell, standing, we could stay here all night long, and I could tell a story, and somebody else would tell a story, and somebody else would tell a story, and somebody else would tell a story. We could stay here all night telling stories about how God, with an anointed shield, protected us and kept us and delivered us time after time after time after time after time after time. Amen. My. Thank God for an anointed shield. Thank God for an anointed shield. I think perhaps one of the saddest verses in the Bible, in the book of 2 Samuel, there's a story about a man by the name of Saul who went to battle. He had a shield, but it wasn't anointed. He had lost it. He traded it. Traded his shield. Ego got in the way. Pride got in the way. He had a shield, but he lost his anointing. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. Talks about a shield that was cast away. Now, you see, when Saul went onto the battlefield, and when the enemy drew back the string in the bow and released the arrow, and when that arrow came to the shield of Saul, somehow it pierced, went through, went into his body. And he lay there dying on the battlefield, Mount Gilboa. And after Saul died, the Bible said that the enemy came and they took Saul's body, and they took his kingly robes, and they took his sword, and they took all of his possessions and everything that was there. But the Bible says that they cast away the shield. Why did they cast it away? Because it was not good. It was not good for anything. Amen. God help us today to have an anointed shield. It's not enough just to have a shield, but it has to have that anointing on it. It has to have the Holy Ghost on it. You've got to keep that fresh. You've got to keep that pure. You've got to keep that alive. Amen. It's not enough just to experience it sometime in the past. Amen. But we've got to renew it. Day by day. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. Anybody still feel like you need to renew yourself in the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Amen. We can't live on yesterday's experience, no matter how good it was. We got to have it again today. We got to have it again today. Amen. We have to constantly renew every day, renewing ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. We need the anointed shield. It's necessary. And we have to anoint that shield. Amen. Anoint our faith. God, thank you for faith tonight. But anoint that faith. Put your blessing upon it. Put your divine enablement upon it. Put your power into it. It's nothing. It's just empty words if the anointing of the Lord is not there. Amen. Whatever I say really is of little importance but for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I need you, Jesus. I need you. More than anything, I need you. Amen. Right? I need you, Jesus. I need you. Amen. Oh, anointing, fall on me,
anointing fall on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Anointing fall on me.
Anointing.